God bless you this morning. Let's just go ahead and invite the Lord to come and anoint us for this part of the service. Lord Jesus, we're thankful we can gather here with a small group of believers, Father. Lord, it's not the size that matters, it's that you are here with us, Father, and we come according to your word to hear what you would have to say to us, Father. We just appreciate you so much, all that you are doing in our lives. And Lord, we all have things that we have needs of, and we all have things that we have seen you've accomplished in our life already. But Lord, we're just pressing on because there are so many great promises still out before us. That Lord, we want to partake of these promises, and you gave them to us. It was your word. So we're going to take you at your word, Lord Jesus, and walk according to what you have said, Lord Jesus. We're going to lay aside our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own religion, our own feelings, Lord. We just want to know what you have for us and get to a point where you can manifest the word itself through us, Lord, which is what the bride's privilege to be able to manifest the word in this day, Lord. So I ask that you would come and just give me the words to say, give me the anointing to say it, Father. Help me just so to lay aside my own thought, Lord, my own feelings about these things. And won't you just come, Lord Jesus, and be a reality to each one of us this morning. I ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to read along with me, I'll read a verse in 1 John 3:18. Then you can be seated. We'll read a little bit from John 4 also. 1 John 4. We can just read that first verse. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You may be seated this morning. This morning I want to speak on grace. We all want grace, right? But I'm going to start off by talking a little bit about love to get us to grace. And so John is telling us right here that it's not enough just to say, I love you. It's not enough just to say, well, I love this person. But he said we need to love not just in word or in tongue, but in deed, which is action. Love is an action word. It's something that we have to do. He said it's not good enough just to say, I love you, Brother Jimmy, or something like that. If I'm not acting on it when I have the opportunity, there's something wrong. Right? I'm going to go to chapter 4, the same book, chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us not love one another. I'm sorry, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So here he's saying, you know, God showed his love because even while we were sinners, even when he knew what kind of person we would be, he sent his Son anyways, knowing what kind of person, but he loved us enough to come and save us anyways, in spite of who we are. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Think about that. God's love is perfected when we love each other. We want to see perfect love. We want to manifest it. We want to know what this is. It's when we love each other. Go down to verse 20 of that same chapter. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You say, well, Brother Phil, what does that look like? What does it mean to love my brother? What are you talking? What's he saying here? So Jesus told us. Jesus gave us, I'm going to read out of Luke 7. Jesus gave us a very clear picture of what it looks like when we love people. All right? In chapter 6 of Luke, verse 27, it says this. Jesus speaking now, this is him saying, he says, but I say unto you which hear, this is for those who hear. Everyone can't hear. But those of us who can hear, we have ears to hear. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. So here we are starting, John over here saying, love your brothers, love your people. But Jesus said, that go beyond that and sometimes I'm afraid that we see our enemies as the people we go to church with sometimes. He said, even the people in that are your enemies, that curse you, that hate you, that despitefully use you, that do terrible things to you, he said you're supposed to love them too. Not just the people good to you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. Oh, man. I struggle with this, friend. Because this is what he said love is. And I know I fall short so many times. Someone says something to me, I want to smart off back. Someone does me wrong, I want to return in kind. Unto him that smiteth thee on the other, on one cheek, also offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Someone takes something from me, I'm supposed to go let him take the rest of it. Oh my. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would have that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You've heard that since you were a kid. Do unto others, right? As you would have them do unto you. How often do we actually live that? For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love them that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. Sometimes our love standard is all the way up there with the sinners. Because we're nice to the people who are nice to us and mean to the people who are mean to us. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But he says again, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. He's kind to the evil, to the unthankful, the people who treated him horrible. He forgave from the cross. He said, this is what I expect from you. And then verse 37, he says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Brother Branham preached the message. He said, is your life worthy of the gospel? Friends, this is a description of a life that's worthy of the gospel. If this is not happening in our lives, we have to say no. I know that's pretty hardcore, but this is the standard that Jesus put for his kids, for his born-again children. This is a life that's worthy of a gospel when he manifests our love towards others. You say, well, Brother Phil, I can't do that. Nobody can. That's why we need the new birth. A human being does not do that very well on their own because a human being is by nature, our own nature is selfish. It's self-centered, it's self-protecting, and it's religious. And a lot of people put on a good show of this, but you have to have that divine nature. Let me read a couple of notes Brother Branham said. He said, and you were with God in his thoughts at the beginning. If you were with God in his thoughts at the beginning, how can you deny his word being true? When you are part of his word, certainly, vindicated properly, there could be no mistake about it. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. So Jesus in that human body, the reason he did his works, it wasn't because of human body, it's because of Father that dwelt in him. And brother and sister, we have that same testimony, we have that same witness, the Holy Spirit witnessing in us, that it's the Father in us that doeth these works. You say, well, Brother Phil, I don't do that all the time. Don't worry about it. If you're born again, you will. You're coming to it. That's why we have church. One of the things we go through, you know, all of the struggles and trials and all the hardship we go through is to get all this self out of the way so that he can manifest himself and love that way through us. He goes on to say this. Notice, to be no mistake, his sinless nature expressed God's word. That's the only way that you'll ever be able to express God's word when you believe it and watch it act behind you.
It's the only way you can do this is when he does it, you believe his word, he express himself through you. You have to have that sinless nature that comes from God. We must have a sinless nature that only comes through the new birth. That's the only way you have it. And so if you are born again this morning, you already have that love in you. It's there. Why doesn't it always manifest? Why do we struggle with things sometimes? Why do we not always love people the way we're supposed to? Why do we not always love our enemies? We have struggle loving our brothers and sisters, our friends, much less our enemies. Because that's the battle we face, friend. It's this old nature. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. He said, before the foundation of the world, you was recognized with him. Before the word can ever express itself through you, it takes a sinless nature to do that. Have you not appreciated the last several messages Brother Jerry's been preaching on predestination? Oh my goodness. Amazing. But if you were there with him then, you're going to express this. You have that sinless nature. It just needs to come out. If you're not there, you can't express it, friends. You can be religious, but you can't express it. Listen to this. He said, look at it. Bruised, wounded, tore, opened up his side with the Roman spear in order that the Holy Spirit, we could be baptized into his body. By the Holy Spirit, we could be baptized into his body. Partakers of his divine nature. You get it? Then you become a partaker after coming into his body, a partaker of his divine nature. Christ's nature in you. How can you cheat and steal and lie and backslide and proselyte and everything else with that divine nature of Christ in you? It's impossible. You say, well, we're going to live a perfect life. No, we're going to make mistakes, but you're not going to backslide as far as like walking away and you're completely gone, because even if you try to walk away, it's going to bring you back. Some of us have tried that. You can't get away from this. You might as well just recognize it. You can't get away. And the more you try, the more miserable you're going to be. Isn't that awesome? That's one of the greatest things you can think of. What peace that gives us, because no matter what I'm going through, I know what God has done for me, and Satan will tell you every day he hasn't done nothing. And then he said, well, get me to leave then. Go ahead, Satan. Hit me with your best shot. Get me to go if you can. He can't. You're stuck. And sometimes we don't particularly like that. Our own nature don't like that, because you got to get up and come into church and listen to someone like this. But sometimes you got to do it anyways, friends, because this is what God's nature does in you. You're stuck here. Try to go ahead and run your own program. Try to go to a different church. Try to do whatever you want on your own. You'll see what happens. Some people can, and some people can go here and there and do whatever, but you can't. He loves you too much. He said, it's impossible. Let that soak just a few minutes, because it's right. If you be a partaker in Christ and you become a new creature, old things have passed away. All things have become new. All of our warrings and fussings and stewings and arguings and pampers and all these things pass away. He said pampers. I don't think he was talking about the diaper, but it works. I think he meant pampering. He said, that's all pass away. And so, brother and sister, if I still see that in myself, what's the problem? It's me. But I want to blame you. I want to blame somebody else. Because I don't want that responsibility. You mean it's my fault that I'm doing this? It's my fault I'm acting this way? Yes, it is. But they did this to me. Doesn't matter. It don't matter. Jesus did not give you an excuse, say, well, if they do this, if your enemy does this to you, you can treat them a certain way. He said, treat them all with love. He said, what is the fruit of the Spirit? We've planted it on church membership, upon shouting, upon demonstration of our works. But the fruit of the Spirit is first love. Love who? Then is when you love those who are unlovable. Friends, when you see that happen in your life sometime and someone does something to you and you respond to love, let me tell you what, it is something that this world can't compare. You see, that was Christ in you. And you know you have a right to treat that person bad. You have a right to tell that person off. You have a right to say whatever, and instead you respond with the meek spirit and love. And they look at you like, you have lost your mind. What's wrong with you? And you know it was Christ. You ever had that happen? I hope so. All right. Let's move on here. Sinless nature comes with a new birth. We struggle to manifest it. Why? What interferes with it? We're influenced by so much stuff. Satan knows our old spirit. He knows our old nature. He knows how to influence each one of us on our weaknesses. And some of us use, you know, a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, a legalistic spirit, all these things that influence us. Sometimes it's just protecting myself from being hurt again. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop putting up with what you're doing. I'm not going to respond with love to you because I have a right not to. After all, you're wrong and I'm right. And I'm going to sit in judgment of you because I don't like what you're doing. Let me read some verses here. James, I don't have to turn it. I'm just going to get there quickly. James 4:11-12. He says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So James is starting off right here by saying, don't be judging each other. Don't speak evil of each other. Do what Jesus said to do. Do good to them that treat you bad, that curse you, that are enemies to you. I'm going to turn to Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So many times we see like people around the message, people in this church, whatever, and we see them believing this certain thing. We don't agree with it, so we judge that. We see this person believing something else, and so we judge that. We have this person doing something else. Well, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that's necessary. And so we stand in judgment of these people as if they're our servant. We're finding fault with that, and we're criticizing this, and we're criticizing that. Some of it is just totally crazy, and some of it's really evil. But they're not our servant. How do you know what they've been called to? You say, well, Phil, you're up there all the time preaching. Yeah, you do call it out. Absolutely. There are things you have to say. But it's how you go about it is what he's talking about.
Right.
One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Yea, ye shall behold another. I'm sorry, I got another esteem. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Every man be persuaded in his own mind. What I believe, what God has shown me, let me have that. And if God shows you something, let that be what God shows you. And God will straighten it out if there's something wrong. Have you ever looked at someone? I know I've done this. I heard a preacher preach and say, man, he ain't on the word at all. And 10 years down the road, I hear him again. He's way ahead of me. But I was ready to throw him out because he didn't see everything exactly the way I saw it. How do you know when God's going to open his eyes? Let me skip down. Verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as it lives, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. He said, stop judging each other and make sure that we're not causing that person to stumble. Make sure not we're not causing that person to have a hard time enjoying the church service. Make sure that we're not doing something that causes that person who is weaker than we. Maybe they are weaker. Maybe they don't see what you see. But don't do something that causes them to stumble in their weakness. They can like, well, forget this. If that's your attitude, if that's the way you're going to treat me, I don't want nothing to do with it.
And it's a stumbling block to that weaker person. Brother Phil, you don't think we should call out sin? You think we should just allow things to go? Absolutely not. Jesus called it out. Paul called it out. Brother Branham called it out. Brother Jerry calls it out. I call it out. You call it out. There's times when you have to say something. This is wrong. It's wrong. But let's read again what Paul says in Romans 1. He's talking about these people who have totally rejected God, right? He says, verse 124, he says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Is he not talking about 2021? "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Listen to how Paul is just calling them out. You know, if you read that in a lot of places right now, that's hate speech. That's a crime. Canada's there in some places. We're getting it too, friends. This is the world we live in. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." Oh my goodness. Look at Paul just laying it all out there. This is these kind of people. "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." They take pleasure in it, and they like it, and they're proud of it, and they want everyone to know it, and they're going to force you to accept it. And we see this, and he said, "Oh my goodness, Paul, you're really nailing him to the wall." And what does he say in the very next verse? "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing." Ain't that amazing? He gets down saying all these things, but he said, "Now don't judge him." Is he saying not call it out? No, he's not. See, the world will tell you if you say that, you're judgmental. Have you ever had the world, people tell you judgmental? They tell me that a lot. It's like, okay. Then what's he talking about? Why is he saying this, that he calls all these things a horrible thing, but he said, "Now don't turn around and judge him." "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." So he says God's their judge. Against that. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So then you say, "Well, what are you trying to say, Phil?" This is what I'm trying to say, friends. It's your whole attitude, because every one of us, oh, you say, "I don't do those things." I don't either. But I do some things. I do some things that I need grace for. And he's saying, don't have a critical spirit. Don't have a judgmental attitude towards these people. That's all this is about. That's what John's talking about. That's what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't saying, go ahead and put up with it. He wasn't saying, don't say it's right or wrong. He's saying, what's your attitude towards these people? Because your critical spirit is a judgmental spirit. And you can't love your enemies and have grace to your enemies and do good to those that despitefully use you as long as you have a critical, judgmental spirit and say, "Well, you're wrong. I don't want nothing to do with you." That is not loving in deed or in truth. Amen. There's this guy. His name's something Roscoe. Roscoe's, I don't know. He's in South Africa, and he's a message preacher, supposedly. But they have... They call him Jehovah Roscoe or Lord Roscoe. They actually worship him. And I heard about it, and a couple months ago I looked it up.
his website and all that. And they have the cloud picture, you know, our cloud. And he's got a picture. His face is in there and his two sons. There's three of them. I guess they're the Holy Trinity. I don't know. They are. It's a mess, right? And so I wanted to see him and his two sons are kind of running. They're the main ministers. They have a lot of churches affiliated with them in that area. And so I got on there, and I just wanted to see kind of what they preached, what their service looked like. So I clicked on one of his sons was preaching, and they had this huge church, and he's in this pulpit, and there's a railing all the way around the pulpit, and there's probably 30 or 40 men up there, and he's preaching. He is so anointed. Oh, my goodness. And they're just up there screaming, amen, and hallelujah, and hype, and just worshiping, and you see people out in the pews, and they're just like in this ecstasy. You're just having this just amazing time. Strong spirit of delusion. And he is preaching this. He said, what about the people who have left us? The ones who have gone away. He said, do we still love them? He said, sure we do. But from a distance. I love you, but stay away from me. That's a denominational spirit of putting up walls. You can get that out of, you can go to Jeffersonville and see that. You can go to my family and see that. You don't believe the way I do? I love you, Phil, but you know what? We're not going to have a lot to do with you. Judging. That's the attitude I'm talking about. I'm not saying you go out and hang out and wallow in the mud with them at all. I'm saying when you have an opportunity to show Christ to them, God wants you to show the spirit of Christ, which is love. Amen. It's an attitude. Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Going to destroy him. What did Abraham do? He started pleading for him. Think about it. His attitude, you know what, God? I don't blame you. Go ahead and burn them off. They're a bunch of perverted people anyway. Just get Lot out of there, then burn them off. They deserve it. No, he didn't. He risked God's anger pleading for that horrible city. He said, well, he's pleading for the righteous people. Sure he was, but he could have said, God, get the righteous out and burn them off. But he didn't. What's our attitude towards the people around here? Jesus, several hundred years later, he was standing there. The people were about to commit the greatest crime that any human beings have ever did. They're going to crucify the Son of God. He stood on the mountain overlooking Jerusalem and wept for him. He's crying. He said, oh, Jerusalem, how I would have hovered you. How I'd have took care of you. We could have had, but now your time has come. You would not. He wasn't up there saying, you know what? I can't wait till Rome comes and destroys you. I can't wait till God just wipes this off the earth. And then from the cross, he forgave him. Let me show you how this worked in Brother Branham's life. You all know the story. He went to that restaurant. That woman was in there. She was an old woman, a grandma. She had all this makeup on and dressed ungodly and all that stuff. I'm just going to read what he said about this. And actually, there's about a couple different sermons he took this from, that I took this from. So it's going to... not all at once, so I'm going to jump around a little bit, but just to show you the prophet's attitude towards this situation. She was sitting there, said lips all stuff all over her face. It was all over like that. She had this black stuff over her eyes. She was sweating. It was running down. The poor old thing might have had great grandchildren. She is sitting there with two old men, and one of them had a big old scarf around his neck in June, sitting there. He got up, was kind of drinking. She was drinking too. She was looking around. I thought, now this is what your prophet thought. Oh God, God, why don't you just wipe the thing off the map? He said, does my little Sharon, my little baby, my little Sarah, my little Rebecca have to be raised up in that generation to come face to face to stuff as that? I thought, look out here in these parks and things, what goes on. I thought, oh God, I'm glad you took Sharon if it was your will. Does my little Rebecca and little Sarah have to be raised up under stuff as that? And then people call them, sing in the choir and everything. I thought, isn't that a shame? I thought, God, how can your holy righteousness stand it? Look like that, your righteous indignation to fly out there and blow this place up? Look at that prophet standing there condemning all these people. Who needed to be condemned? If you look at it, they were wrong. They were sinners. How many times have I looked around the world with that and said, God, how do you put up? How much worse can it get? It's terrible out there. And that's not a wrong thing. It is, that is true. But brother and sister, what is your attitude towards the sinner? Do we hate the sin or do we also hate the sinner? I heard the angel of the Lord said, come aside. I walked over there, and when he got through with me, I felt like a different person. He said, what are you condemning her for? I said, look at the way she is. Look at him justify himself to the angel. Then I saw a vision. I saw the world like this, spinning round and round, had a rainbow around it. That was the blood of Christ that protects God's wrath. He couldn't look upon that. He destroyed the thing right now. He said, the day you eat there, the day you die. You know how it goes on. He saw in there the blood. Let me just skip down. He said, he took his hand. He said, then I thought, yes, that's right. I seen one day I crawled up to him. I seen my old book laying there, a sinner, laid everything on it. And I seen my sins and that was in is what was doing it. I said, Lord, will you forgive me? He took his hand in his side, got some blood out, wrote it across the top, said, pardon. Throwed it back in the sea of forgiveness to remember it no more. It was gone forever. He said, I forgive you, but you're condemning her. That changed my idea. I said, Lord, have mercy. He didn't come out and say, it's okay for you to continue what you're doing. He didn't come out and say, okay, I'm not going to judge you anymore as far as saying that it's okay to live that way. That's not what he did at all. He came out and he sat down and talked to her, and he found out her story, and he had compassion for the human being who was bound by those spirits. He had compassion for that human being who maybe they hadn't been called like we have been called, but they were still a human being, and they could still be saved. And he said, you know what? I want to hear your story. And he found out she gave her heart to the Lord right there, and the people around did too. Because it changed his attitude. Instead of just looking and saying, I want nothing to do with you, you horrible person. Why don't God just destroy you? He came out and he sat down and he was a human being. So he talked to her with the love of Christ. The prophet had to have his attitude changed. He said, I come out of the vision. I looked over there, that poor woman sitting there, toddling, trying to smoke a cigarette, couldn't even get it to her mouth. Toddling like that, I said, Lord God, please forgive me. I'll not be critical anymore. I walked over to where she was. I said, how do you do? She said, oh, how do you do? Could I sit down a minute? She said, you may. I sat down, looked at her. I thought, somebody's mother, no doubt. Something's behind that life. I don't know what it is. Friends, if we would have that kind of attitude towards people, we would start fulfilling Luke 6. Instead of criticizing, instead of throwing people off, instead of like, I want nothing to do with you.
Good.
How many people could we have a positive effect on? How let me read another quote here. I'm running down here. Let me go through this. Hang on 1 second. I got to look something up. I don't know, see if I need to read this or not. First Corinthians 6:1. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge which are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? You say, well, Brother Phil, we don't go to law with each other. No, maybe we don't go out there, but we go to law within ourselves. He said, why don't you just allow yourself to be wronged instead of defending yourself? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. It's the spirit of the age, friends, our rights. I have a right not to have to be defrauded. I have a right to get what I want. I have a right not to put up with this. I have a right to all this stuff. And so I'm going to defend myself. This is not the spirit of love. Brother Branham says this. If the devil can keep us separated, he's got us shooting at one another, so he's got an open target anywhere he wants to shoot. And what's the use of shooting? We're shooting one another. So he can just sit back and relax. Whew. Let me ask you this. Does your life allow Satan to sit back and relax? Or do we torment him? Does your life allow him to say, you know what, I got that screwed up in the church. I got that screwed up in the church. I'm going to go take a vacation. You know, that church there in Dixon, they're going to be up in arms for about 6 months now. You got us shooting at each other. We have cliques and separations and this going on and that going on. Friend, look, Satan knows we're his worst enemy. He hates us. He comes against us so hard, he stirs these things up because he knows that there's reality here. He knows that he can't stop us, and he's doing all he can. He comes against us really hard. But no matter how hard he comes against us, God is greater than him. If we will trust God, see it come down to, we believe God. God said, I'm going to take care of you. He said, I'm going to take care of all your needs. Whatever you need, I got it. But you got to let me have it. Amen. You got to let me take care of it. Quit defrauding your brother. Quit having this against that person, holding that against that person. Let me handle it. Do you not believe me? Do you not believe that I love you? Amen. Do you not believe that if you put it in my hands, I'm going to make this work out? You say, but I'm hurt. Of course you're hurt. That's part of what it is. Satan's doing all he can to stir us up. And God's saying, but you are going to trust me, aren't you, Job? Brother Branham says, if I have found grace in your sight through God, you take my word for this, brethren. If you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, so he's being very straight. He said, if I found grace in your sight, has he found grace in our sight? We're going to believe what he says, right? He said, if you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, when a man has done you wrong, he has absolutely just, I mean, he has done you wrong. You know that he's done you wrong. He's done you evil. He tells us what to do. Picking you, Brother Wayne, is that right? Out in the parking lot, we're leaving, and Brother Wayne, he's in a hurry. He backs up and he just mashes into my car, the back of his truck. He looks out the window and he says, "Poop, sorry about that, Phil. Gotta go," and takes off out the parking lot. And so I come to church and I said, "Brother Wayne, you mashed my car. I need to get insurance." He said, "I didn't do that." So you mashed my car and lied about it. What am I going to do? Brother Jimmy, let me tell you something. You won't believe what Brother Wayne did. Brother Jim, Brother David, let me tell you something. Look what Brother Wayne did to me. Can you believe it? And then he lied about it. You know what I'm doing? I'm setting up myself as judge, and I'm getting a jury. I want to get everyone involved to hold that grudge against Brother Wayne and say, Brother Wayne, you're wrong. You know what Brother Branham said to do? When a man has done you wrong, he has absolutely, I mean, he's done you wrong. You know that he's done you wrong. He's done you evil. Don't mention that. You're not even supposed to tell anybody. You're not supposed to tell anybody. I come up short, friends.
We do.
Because we need to get our allies in place. We need to get our people so we can make me feel better, make me feel that you take my side against Brother Wayne. We got to get these sides going. We got this person pitted against that person because that's what Satan wants us to do. And he appeals to our own nature. He knows, I can get this person on that side. I can get that person to disagree. And I can do this. And he's just going through that. And he just sits back and say, let me just take a vacation. I got them worked up again. But they've done me wrong. He said that. He said they've done you evil. You're not justified in whatever you do besides not mentioning it. Now, does that mean you can't tell someone? No, that don't mean you can't tell someone, but what's your motive for saying it? What's your motive for telling somebody? Just to get them on your side? Just to make Brother Wayne look bad? Just so that you can feel sorry for me? It's all about the attitude, friends. It's all about the attitude. He said, don't mention that. You take him to prayer before God. And he said, well, yeah, I do that. Let's go deeper. He said, don't take it in a way, just a selfish way, and say, well, I'm supposed to do this. Well, I'm a Christian. I got to pray for Brother Wayne. God, you know what Brother Wayne did. I don't know why he did that, but I tell you what, I think he needs a lesson. Well, he said, don't say, well, I'm supposed to do this, but stand with your shoulder to his shoulder. Oh, no. No! Not shoulder to shoulder, because when I shoulder to shoulder, it means we're equal. No, when he does something evil to me, he's down here and I'm up here. And I'm facing him and say, you're wrong. No, he said shoulder to shoulder. Because when you're shoulder to shoulder, no one's higher than the other person. Well, we do sometime. We push others down. Let me just say this. Satan comes to you and he says, you're not going to the rapture. You ever tell you that? Every day? Look at your life. Look at the mistake you make. Look at all the problems you have. And you think you're going in the rapture? Ha! You're a horrible person. But then he also comes and he points someone else's faults out to you. He says, look at that person. Look how they're living. Look how bad they are. Look at this. Look at, you're better than they are. And we like hearing that. Because you know what it makes us do? It pushes them down and pushes us up. We push ourselves up. We're holier than you by pushing other people down. And it's Satan coming from both directions. He makes you feel condemned, then he makes you feel better because someone's worse than you. Of course, that's your opinion because you struggle with things too, right? But God gives me grace for that, for those things, because he knows my weakness. But I have no grace for your weakness. Satan just sits back and laughs. It's time we start tormenting him instead of him tormenting us, friends. How do you torment him? By letting love manifest. Stand shoulder to shoulder. See, you're not looking on it. You're on even ground because brother and sister, at the foot of the cross, everybody's equal. Everybody's equal. He said, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm a little higher up here, not at the foot of the cross. We all come to the foot of the cross, friends. If you ain't there, you need to get back. He said, stand shoulder to shoulder and stand in the presence of God our Father. Way of prayer should be made in the presence of God. Say, Father, here's my brother. And he deserves punishment because he's done me evil. And I don't see why he did it. Brother Wayne deserves punishment for wrecking my car and lying about it. And I don't see why he did it. I have done nothing to him. Then, Let God go talking to you. And you'll see maybe what that man's been through. Remember the woman in the restaurant? Condemned her and condemned her. Then he got a different attitude. He said, well, what's she been through? What's behind her? There's something that's going on in her life. He found out what it was. But we are so busy protecting ourselves. We're so busy doing what we want, protecting ourselves. I'm not going to be hurt anymore. You're not going to do that to me anymore. I'm going to make sure everyone knows what a horrible person you are. Instead of finding out, why would he do that? What's going on behind that? You know, Brother Branham said this different time. He said, it's not your brother, it's the devil. It's not your sister, it's the devil. And when we look, no, it's you, Brother Phil, it's you, Brother Wayne. There we are shooting at each other again instead of letting Satan relax him. Let God talk to you. You say maybe what that man's been through. The devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. The devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. And then recognize, from what Brother Jerry's been preaching, recognize, friends, that if they don't have that seed of God in them to begin with, if they're not predestinated, it's impossible for them to see what you see. It's impossible for them to live to the level you're living. They might be a nickel or a dime or a quarter, but you're a silver dollar. What do you expect from them? Let's go back to Abraham. Abraham was a silver dollar. Brother Bram said Lot was a penny. Yet he had a righteous soul. He was saved. What would your attitude been if you had been with Abraham? And Abraham's preaching, and he's preaching, and what he says, he tells Lot, you know, we need to separate. We're having strife in the church. We need to separate. You've seen God do that here. I don't know that he's ever come out and said, you need to leave, but he preaches things that causes people to leave. And they do. If Abraham would have come to you and said, hey, you need to leave this church, you're causing strife. You know what you would have done as a silver dollar? You said, I ain't going. Whoever's causing the strife, they can leave. I'm staying. Because this is the message of the hour. This is the prophet of God. This is where I got to stay. Amen. But Lot would say, okay. Because he wasn't a silver dollar. He could be satisfied somewhere else. You can't be satisfied somewhere else. You have to be in the word of the hour. You have to be there where it's coming out, where it's the light of the world. And other people can get away and say, I'm fine over here. Lot was fine over there. What would you have done? Would you have looked at Lot and said, well, you backslider, leaving the church. You walk away from our church. You're just all heathen anyways. If they're not a silver dollar, they're going to leave, friends. That doesn't mean they're not saved. That doesn't mean we're going to just throw them away. They can still be saved if we would just be that person that they can see Christ through. Amen. You see, no, they rejected the message. Brother Brandt said this. I looked for a quote. I can't find it. He said something like, he said, some people here just to keep the lights on. You've heard that? I used to think, oh, that person, they're lost. No, they're not. They're doing what God called them to do. They're walking in all the light they can see, and this is what they see. I can respect what's going on here. I respect the message, whatever, and I don't see any more than that. They don't have eyes to see. The devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. Though he's absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. Not feeling sorry for yourself. Not seeking sympathy for yourself. How many times you go to God, God, don't you feel sorry for me? You see how hard I'm going through? And this is such a hard time I'm going through. He said, I'm not feeling sorry for you. That person did me so wrong. He said, why don't you feel sorry for them? They have to answer for that. Well, I think they should. And you call that the love of God? Could you look at someone and say, condemn them to hell, God? They're a horrible person. Can you do that to anybody? Do you know anybody who does that you hate them so bad that you wish they would go to hell? If you do, Brother Bram said, you need to get Christ. Before you leave the throne of God, you'll feel sorry for that person. So then let me ask you this. Do you have something against somebody? Then you haven't been to the throne of God with that person. That's what he just said. He said, you take him there where you're supposed, the way you're supposed to pray, and you get to the throne of God and let God talk to you about the situation. You're going to walk away feeling sorry for them, not holding a grudge. You'll be sympathizing with that brother, not looking for sympathy. They did me evil. They did me wrong. He said, you'll be sympathizing with them.
True.
Jesus showed how to do it from the cross. He forgave them. He cried. He saw those people. He saw Israel. He saw them, that they were going to do this. He wept over them. And yet he knew that Father had blinded them.
True.
They were born for that purpose. Mm-hmm. And yet he wept over them. He said, you'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand. Because you know what he's been through. Isn't that amazing? When you get back down to earth again. I like that. You're up in prayer land. You're up the place of just you and God. You come back down to earth and you look at that brother a whole different way. Just like Brother Branham did that woman. When he got back down to earth, he looked at her completely different.
Amen. That's good.
You can't stand with immortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe. No, sir. You hear what he said? You cannot stand in the presence of God and condemn anybody. No, sir, I don't believe it. No, sir, even if he is a rank sinner. So he's not just talking about your brothers and sisters. He said everybody, anybody, rank sinner. You say all these perverted people out there? He said it. Argue with him. You can't get, well, Brother Phil, you're saying that we just say there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say you don't call out the sin. Did he not call out sin? Tell me the prophet didn't call out against sin. Every service he called out against sin. Well, he's condemning them. His attitude was love. The same Jesus that said, love your enemies, stood in the face of those Pharisees and said, you're your father, the devil. Now, was he a hypocrite? No, he's calling out love. He's his love, because love is corrective. He said, listen, if you keep going this way, you're going to be lost. He cared enough to say it. His spirit cares enough to get up and preach these things over the pulpit because he loves you and he knows he's going to change you. It's love that does it. But what's your attitude towards that person? When you're done, when you're done, do they know that you love them, or do they think you are just kicking them down? How many times we use the message, we use quotes, we use the scriptures to kick someone in the teeth? Well, I got this quote against you, and I got this person saying that, and I got this, and I got this, and so-and-so said this, and I'm going to prove you're wrong and I'm right. And we use quotes to burn somebody. Ha, gotcha. That ain't the spirit of Christ. That's self-promotion.
Amen.
Protecting myself. My feelings were hurt. You cannot condemn anybody when you come in the presence of God. Not even a sinner. He said, what about a brother has made a mistake? Though I say he's wrong, sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not. But if he is wrong, well, if we will take him to the throne of God and stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's immortal. And then Brother Bram says something that just blows my mind. Knowing he's immortal, and maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. His destination rests upon my attitude towards him. Now, Brother Branham said different times, you know, a person's attitude towards the gospel determines their destination. That's right. But he also said, my attitude towards you can determine your destination. I run into someone at work, and they do something I don't like. And I respond, they sass me, I sass them back. And someone said, well, Phil's a Christian. Well, really? I don't want what he's got. I don't want his religion. And maybe if I'd had a different attitude, they could have been saved. Because they treated the bride of Christ a right way. That he said, Jesus said, he said, what you've done to the least of these, my children, you've done unto me. You know what I'm talking about. But my attitude towards that person was such a way that they didn't want to do good to me. Because all they saw was the same old religion they see from all the other Christians. I wasn't any different. They said, I was as good as Phil. He said, well, if they're predestinated, yeah, if they're predestinated, they're going to come. And you know what? They're going to see something. They're going to be here. But I'm not talking about them so much. I'm talking about the non-predestinated seed who are going to be saved. Can you imagine what it would be like? And I don't think it's going to be this way. I don't know how it's going to be. But can you imagine on Judgment Day, if you're standing there and we're judging him, and someone gets up and someone that you knew in this life, and they look at you and said, if you would have treated me better, I would be saved. Now I'm going to hell because of your attitude. I don't believe that's going to happen, because that would be, you know, we're going to be in such a place we're not going to have any sorrow or anything like that. But you know what Brother Branham said? He said, when I didn't go down and preach to the Pentecostals and what God told me to, he said, I answer for all those souls that would have been saved. All those souls would have been saved. Now, I don't know how that's going to, maybe by losing his wife, we know that was part of it, losing his wife and daughter and all those things he suffered because he didn't go down. He answered for those souls. His attitude, my attitude, I'm sorry, their destination rests upon my attitude towards him. How many young people have walked out of message churches because all they had was judgmental attitudes toward them? All they heard was do this and do that and do this and do that and don't do that and don't do that. And if you do that, you're a horrible person. You're going to hell. Maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. When we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we're everyone guilty. Everyone guilty. And we all need help from one another. And the best way to do is pray. Friends, you can't condemn someone else and ask for grace for yourself. You cannot hold something against someone else and not forgive them and turn and say, God, will you please forgive me for what I'm doing wrong? Oh, by the way, I'm not going to forgive them. And when you're holding something against somebody, you haven't forgiven them. I don't care what comes out of your mouth, your heart, you haven't forgiven them. And sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes you have to have God move on that. Sometimes God has to do that. Hey, you have to make that difference in you. But when he does, you know what liberty is. But you have to have the right attitude, or he's going to say, Jesus said it. He said, if you don't forgive other people, God's not forgiving you. You imagine all the people who are holding something against somebody else, and they've been praying for forgiveness for their own sins, but they're still holding on. How many sins are heaped up on their account? Because God said, I'm not going to forgive you because you're not forgiving others. Let me finish up here. One more quote. He said, I got two more quotes. I got to do this other one. Real short. It says this: condemn no one, love everybody. If you can't love from your heart, then Christ is not with you. And John showed us what love is. It is love in deed and in truth, not just something coming out of my mouth. It's got to be from the heart. We all believe that? Brother Branham said this, many like Adam do the same thing, try to make a substitute in some way. Try to find a way out. Make a substitute to face God after they know in the wrong. Faced up to the truth, went on with his wife and did exactly what God told him not to do. He went right ahead and did it anyhow. And then he found himself naked, she and he both in the Garden of Eden. Their eyes were open. They know what was right and wrong then. And then he tried to find a substitute to kind of cover himself up with it. Friends, that's what we do. We make excuses. Well, this person did this, or that person did this, or he said this, or he said that. It's easy to do. You can find something wrong with anybody. And we justify ourselves because they were wrong. Brother Branham admitted, he said, yeah, they did evil. They did you wrong. But you can't justify yourself in the sight of God. You might justify yourself to your friends or your family or your own conscience, but in God's sight, you're not justified. He said, don't mention it. My. He said, that's just about the way we do today. An excuse, say, well, I tell you, if this was here, if this, or if, that's just it. Well, if they wouldn't have done that, if that wouldn't have had that way, if they would have done this, if I would have had that, we all got our ifs. We go to God with our justification. God, you know what's going on, but you know how we, you know what's going on here and this, and you know, how can I help myself? Well. He said, but you must face up to it. It's either right or wrong. If it's right, let's stay by it. If it's wrong, get away from it. That's all. Find out what is right. You don't want to wait any longer. Let's find out now what's truth and what's right and stay with it. We know that's truth. And brother and sister, let me just say something. If what I said is truth, then do it. If it wasn't, then ignore it. It was wrong. But you've decided, this is your choice, this is on you. It's been put out there. This is what God wanted me to speak this morning. He said, tell him at the end. If what I said is right, then you're responsible for it. If it wasn't right, then ignore it. Is that all right? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe I said what you wanted said. Thank you, Father, for giving me the spirit to deliver it, Lord. I just pray that you would be with each person who heard the word this morning, that they would take it to heart and let it have the effect that you want it to have. Lord, won't you come now, Lord, and just help us to worship you a little bit and water this word and help us to surrender ourselves and help us, Lord Jesus, just to long for you more than anything else, to surrender ourselves completely to you, no matter how we feel about it, but to acknowledge the word is true, that it's going to have the effect that it's supposed to have. We recognize, Father, that if we are a bride, if anyone in here is that elect seed of God, then this word will have the effect. We will love. We will have grace for others. We will do what the word says to do because it's part of our heritage. It's our inheritance. It's our privilege to be able to live this life of Christ. How we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Bless us now as we go from here. Bless the ones who couldn't make it. Just keep them safe, Lord. Keep them walking in your will. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we go. We ask this in your name.